Hello and welcome back to the MRS Lab podcast from Fletz MR, the show where we investigate topics on the fringes of market research in 10 minutes or less. The topic under our microscope today is the humanization of data, what it means, why it's important, and how we can achieve it in nearly any research setting. Now, the first notable thing about this topic in particular is how it's so often misunderstood. Even a brief Google search will yield hundreds of articles suggesting that humanizing data is synonymous with storytelling, that to make complex corporate and dry reports go further, all you need to do is tell a good story with them. Some dig a little deeper and argue that to humanize data is to improve the relationship between the reader and the research. This definition begins to wrap in tools like graphic design, interactive web pages, dashboards, videos, and photography. But is that really what it means to humanize data? I'd contest that the definition is much, much more simple and fairly self-explanatory. It is nothing more than the process of turning abstract data points into something more human. As many marketers well know, this is a core component of building buyer personas. It's already something that we're familiar with. The idea of representing numbers, percentages, even qualitative insight as individuals. But it's also, much like the concept of humanizing data itself, often very misunderstood. Let's look at this example of a buyer segmentation in a bit more detail. I'm sure we're all familiar with the typical persona documents. You know, the ones that detail demographic, attitudinal, and behavioural factors that are capped off with a name and a photo. After all the work is done, there in front of you is a fictional person staring back. Someone with a believable, realistic life. Someone you could bump into on the street. But it's from this point that things start to go wrong. There's an acknowledgement that this persona, this person, isn't real. That they're an amalgamation of averages. They're likely to be female. They're likely to have a high socioeconomic status. They're likely to live in London and spend 1 hour grocery shopping a week. But it's not certain. Sometimes they could be male. Sometimes they could live in the far reaches of northern Scotland. When this doubt starts to creep in, so too does the danger. And the exercise of humanizing data with a name and a face starts to unravel. Here is where we get to the crux of the issue. Whether our research is about demographics, behaviors, attitudes, satisfaction, experience, or anything else, it isn't really human. It isn't singular, and it isn't simple. A common, if flawed, way of navigating this dissonance is to pull back and dehumanize the data again. To pick away and challenge it. Well, that persona can't be right because it doesn't reflect the experience of this particular individual. What about this group over here? That doesn't match up. These are the dreaded words that turn a potentially transformational way of understanding data into, sometimes in the worst cases, a ridiculed afterthought. So, what is the solution here? Well, controversial as it may sound, ignore the criticism and reframe the purpose of humanizing data. Marketing math, despite what increasingly refined calculations and measurements suggest, never adds up to 100. It has always been, and likely always will, rely on best estimates. Even digital attribution models make assumptions about data, about viewership, and everything else. An ad impression assumes that a human first looked at the screen, and second, that they noticed the advert at all. Research is no different. Just because our human way of reflecting data doesn't represent the totality of the dataset, doesn't make it any less accurate or reliable. Take, for example, the following two statements, which makes it easier to make clear decisions. Our target audience is likely female, likely lives in London, and often spends an hour grocery shopping per week. Or, 80% of our target audience is female, 3/4 live in London, with pockets of 1 to 5% in other major cities across the UK, and they can spend between 40 minutes and 2 hours grocery shopping per week. While the latter certainly has more detail, it also makes it difficult to make clear decisions. As researchers and marketers, we must work within the constraints that we have. That means directing resources towards the markets, messages, and strategies that are the most valuable, that will yield the highest results. In both examples, the same audience is clearly represented as the best return on marketing spend, but the additional detail, uncertainty, and distraction in the second makes it harder to pick out what is the best decision. And this is the essence of humanizing data. I like to describe it as giving data a name and a face, because it's exactly that, turning projects into real, well, fictional, people. In this way, data becomes more memorable, more coherent, and helps business leaders make clearer decisions. The challenge we have to overcome is really that of comfort. Being comfortable in that process of editorializing, making decisions for ourselves about what is and isn't relevant, and knowing when to deploy this tool as well. There will certainly be times where humanizing data is not the best option, when data refers to trends or a subject that isn't human in nature. We've also got to take into consideration audience and level of detail. What does a given audience need to know? Technical and research audiences may need that in-depth access to the raw data. Senior decision makers, on the other hand, may be looking for something closer to a top-line report. Where and in what scenario is this tool going to be deployed? In short, humanizing data isn't a silver bullet. It isn't a one-size-fits-all solution, and it certainly isn't just another formal word for storytelling. But as a carefully considered and well-reasoned part of a wider insight professional's toolkit, it can be an invaluable way to engage decision makers with complex, dry, corporate data. And on that note, we reach the end of today's episode. I want to thank you for tuning in and joining us on this brief exploration of humanization. We'll be back in a few weeks' time when we'll be asking how insight professionals strike the right balance between the copious variety of data types available to them. Numbers, video, images, how do you balance and how do you choose what data types to look at? Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.